this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Last session we talked about that some believers, not all, and if this hits you in the heart and the spirit, that's conviction, not condemnation. Some believers, not all, are operating in fear in their life because they're simply not covered with all of the armor of God. Here is what we should be praying and declaring as believers. God, if you give it to me, I want it. God, if you have given me all of this armor, I want to put all that armor on. God, if you have given me all of these weapons, I don't have to pick one. I can use them all. And God has done just that, but there's some believers who are operating in fear because we are not properly covered. Not properly covered, we could talk about the church providing a covering, a pastoral covering, but the most important covering that you have is making sure that you are covered by Almighty God. Fear, which so many people deal with these days, is simply faith in reverse. If you can have fear, I've never heard it said like this. If you can have fear, you can have faith. Fear is a focus on the wrong thing. Faith is a focus on Jesus Christ, His Word, and His will. So I want to encourage you tonight. If you have fear in your life, you've already proven that you are a person of faith. We've just got to focus that faith on the right thing. And focusing your attention on everything the devil is doing, focusing your attention on everything that is on CNN and Fox News is not going to help you. But every day of your life, focusing on the Word of God, focusing on the promise of God, focus on what God did so that you and I might live in victory and be able to stand in victory against all of the enemy's plans. That is a great thing. And so I choose to be covered, but I choose to focus my faith on the right thing. Before we get to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, Ephesians 6 starts out talking about fathers and mothers and talks about the way the children should act and should honor and should respect. And so we hear these words like obey, and one translation says submit, and one translation says honor. And those words mean so many things, but it's not a separate conversation that Paul is having. He's not talking about how to raise your families and how to build your kids and how to parent. And then he switches and starts talking about how to fight the enemy. This is one chapter and it is all interwoven together. Because until you can step out on the battlefield, you have to be able to prove to God that I will obey you and I will honor you. I will obey you, listen, church, when nobody's around. That way you can trust me to obey you when everybody is around. God, I honor you in private when no one hears. So that on Sunday when I honor you, you don't say I haven't seen you in a few days, heard from you in a few days. But before God elevates or promotes us, we have to prove that I can handle it all by myself. Honor means this. Honor means to listen under. Submit means to rank under. There that word rank is. When he talks about obey your parents in the first part of Ephesians 6, he is literally talking about, he said, you are already part of a team. You are already fighting a battle. And he said, I need to understand, can you obey a parent that loves you that you can see? Because if you can't obey them, you're probably never going to obey a God you can't see. If you can't be under the rank and listen to those that God has placed over you, honor comes from the Greek word timeo. It means to place a value on. I honor the things of God because I honor God. I honor God's house. Listen, I probably shouldn't say this, but we'll just go there. On Sunday, they came to me after church, and they said, we caught someone smoking weed in the bathroom at Living Way. I said, during service? They said, during service. I said, how do you know? They said, someone caught them. I said, the someone that caught them, do we trust them? They said, we trust them. I said, what did you do? We just told him that he could not do that here. I said, that's exactly what you should have told him. Don't kick him out because it sounds like he needs to be here the most. Because if God can't trust you not to smoke weed here, then how will he ever trust you to turn it down at a party or in your apartment complex? I'm here to tell somebody today that when you honor God and place value on the things of God, the presence of God, what God is saying is if you can honor me, I can now put you in places that are dry bones, like of the valley of Ezekiel. I can put you in the deepest of valleys, David, because I know that your honor will not change by your direction or by your location. Come on, somebody. I know that your obedience will not change by the crowd that surrounds you, whether you're worshiping on Sunday or something's going crazy on Friday. If you can obey me here, you will obey me there. If you honor me here, you will honor me there. If you can fight here, I can trust you to fight there. So he starts off talking obey. He starts off talking honor, submit. The entire sixth chapter of Ephesians is about one thing. It is about covering. And God cannot trust you on the battlefield out in the world if you can't win the battlefield of your mind and the battle with yourself. Everyone on the face of the earth needs to be covered. Everyone needs covering. That's why when we open up Living Way Launch, it's not so that you can be a number in our database. It's not so that we can tell people that we have this many people coming to Living Way. The real reason we want you to put down roots here at Living Way Church is because there's a battle every day of your life. First and foremost, for your soul. Second, for your marriage and your family. Third, for your money and everything. I'm here to tell you, I want you coming to Living Way because we can cover you and make sure that you hear from God. Make sure that God speaks to you. Make sure you always have a place to come, like the altar at Living Way, to get a word from God or a move from God. Everyone on the face of the earth needs to be covered. Parents in the room today, you have 18 years to teach your kids how to act. If they go crazy at 19, you didn't do your job right. It got quiet. You should say amen there. We need to understand that we are training the next level and the next generation of believers. And so we have to be willing to keep ourselves covered so that we can cover our children, so they know what it means to live a covered life, so they know that they are not all alone, so they know that no matter what's going on around them, that God's got them covered. And there's a church community that has them covered. And there's some faith-filled men and women of God, some of those mature saints that have them covered. Because I promise you, if we don't cover them, somebody will. God is not looking for rogue believers. The Lone Ranger was a TV show, but you cannot be what God has called and created you to be by yourself without covering. You cannot do what God has created you to do by yourself without covering. This is what covering offers you, church. Covering offers you protection, praise God. Covering offers you provision. Covering offers you support. Covering allows your ears to hear what God is saying. Covering allows your eyes to see what God is doing and what God is seeing. Covering allows you to have a hand to help you. Covering offers you perspective. Covering allows you to serve without burnout. Cover allows you to forgive without bitterness. It's what covering does. You show me some place, some person that doesn't have a pastor and doesn't have a church, yet they say they're a believer and they love God. I will show you somebody who is doing a very small percentage of what God has called them to do. You need a church and we need you. You need a covering and we need you. But more than what a church offers, we want you to be covered from the head to toe with every good and perfect thing that God has for you. So the question is this: are you covered? How many of you growing up in the 80s and 90s remember this phrase, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself? You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. I believe it was on the Cosby show that Mrs. Cosby said, I was going to say Sister Cosby, Mrs. Cosby said, I'm the one who brought you into this world and I can take you out. That's covering talk. a lot of us don't like the way that the covering talks to us, but remember, the covering is covering us and it's protecting us. It's providing for us. It's teaching us. And so covering allows us to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We always love to quote this at our toddlers and our 6 and 8 and 10 years old. But can I remind you, good people of Living Way, you and I are children of God. A lot of times when we start prayers, we say, Father God, I come to you. What we are saying is, I am your child and you are my father. I am the one that you brought into this world and I look to you for direction. But can I encourage you and remind you that sometimes fathers don't bless you with a kind word, but sometimes fathers have to rebuke you. They have to whip you. They have to teach you a lesson. They have to correct you, and correction is never fun, but it is so important for the development of believers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let me give you some context. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for the revelation of obedience is right. I've taught youth and young people for 20 years of my life, and I use this verse all the time. And I say, this doesn't say your parents are right. It says the revelation is right. Even if you don't agree with mom and dad, even if they are wrong, you still obey them. The only time that I have ever told a young person anything different than that is if they are asking or making you do something that is diametrically opposed to the word of God. That is the only time when you can speak up and say, I ain't doing that. That's not part of who I am and what God has called me to be and do. But if your parents tell you to do something, the revelation of obedience, you say, yeah, but my parents don't even come to church and my parents have done this to me. I'm going to tell you, obey them and honor them. Why? Because the revelation is not in what they're asking you to do. It's not in how they're treating you, but rather how you treat them. Why? Because God is saying, if they can't win this battlefield with the people that love them the most, then why would I put them in a place in the world where they hate them and there's people that are coming against them? If they can't win this battle, how could they win that war? Children, obey. That's you and I, children of God. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We obey our parents not because they are right, but because the revelation is right. Here comes number two. Here's this word is again, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. Anytime that God commands you and I to do something, this is how I need you to look at the word of God. If God tells you to do it, look right behind what he tells you to do, because with the command, there's always a promise. And when God commands us to do something, instead of looking at the bitterness of the pill that sometimes the command looks like, you should look at the promise and the sweetness of the promise. And here's the promise. He said, if you honor your parent, your father and your mother, it will go well with you and you will enjoy a long life on this earth. Every time you honor somebody, every time you honor somebody that is in front ahead of you, every time you honor somebody that is in front of you, you are adding seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, and years to your life. So the next time you think about dishonoring someone, if honoring adds life to you, then dishonor takes life from you. Ooh, let's talk about it. The way you treat your ex. Your ex-husband is still the father of your children. You're still a team, even if you're not married to him. She's still your teammate, even if you're not married to her. Why? Because you brought these kids. They didn't ask to be brought into this world. You brought them into this world. And they shouldn't have to exist in the middle of World War III just because you guys couldn't figure it out together and put Jesus in the middle of your marriage. I'm talking to somebody today. And you say, well, he doesn't deserve honor. We didn't talk anything about whether people deserve honor and respect or not. God said, here is the revelation. When you put out honor in your world, when you love people that are unlovable, when you turn the other cheek to people that are attacking you, when you come up to people and you say, I know you did me wrong, but I'm praying for you and I love you, what are you doing? You are sowing honor, which is adding to your life. Sometimes honor is not being nice. Sometimes honor is just removing yourself from the situation. I love you and honor you enough for me not to stay here, because if I stay here in your presence, I'm going to say something, I'm going to do something that I'm going to have to repent for later. Come on, somebody. Maybe it's just me that old Simon starts creeping back up, and I've got to leave here because I'm going to lay my hands on you, and I'm not talking about prayer, and so I'm going to leave, and my absence is my honoring you. But we've got to cultivate honor. You cultivate honor, God adds to your life. You cultivate honor, there's an addition to your life. Anytime you sow dishonor, you are knocking off days of your life. It's robbing you of the one commodity that we cannot get back, which is time. And so let me tell you, I choose honor. I choose obedience. First obeying God, first honoring God, and because I honor God, I will honor every man and woman on the face of this earth. Honor does not mean I agree with you and you with me. Honor does not mean we meet on every political issue. Honor does not mean we are best friends. Honor means I know you, and I know that there's some differences we have, but I also know this, that God created you, God created me, and so instead of coming against myself by dishonoring you, I'm going to create a culture of honor. I don't have to like you to respect you. I don't have to like you to respect you. It's amazing. 90% of my social media is all faith-based. It's about Jesus. It's about kingdom. It's about church. It's about discipleship. I'll put up something that I believe is life-changing, revelatory, and I'll get 2 likes. I put up something about the Cowboys. I hear from people I didn't even know were still alive. And here they are talking smack. I'm like, so the only time you come out is to run your mouth. But the Jesus talk, you can't like it. You can't share it. You can't comment and say, hey, break that down a little more. You can't DM me and say, hey, I needed that word today. But the moment you start talking about LeBron and the Lakers, the moment you start talking about the Dallas Cowboys, the moment you start talking about the Houston Astros, everybody comes out. Or let's not talk about that. Let's talk about politics. The moment somebody says something about President Biden or President Trump, everybody comes out the woodwork. You know, there are people that you haven't talked to in 10 years that if you said the right thing today on Facebook, they would start talking to you again. And I'm here to tell you, in the world that we live in, there's so much dishonor, but I'm always going to choose the high road, and the high road is one of honor. If you want to get down in the gutters, get down in the gutters. If you want to roll around with the dogs, roll around with the dogs. But remember, you roll around with the dogs, you get fleas. If you hang out with the pigs, you start to stink. And if you start talking to the serpents, you get bit. But I choose the high road of honor. Say, what does this have to do with covering? What does this have to do with putting on the full armor of God and winning the battle that I'm fighting? I am here to tell you the foundation for your victory is obeying and honoring God first. And if I obey and honor God, I have to honor everyone else. Jesus said you can't say that you believe in a God that you have not seen, but hate the brother that you see every day. Say, oh, I honor God. You got to honor and respect the people. Young ladies, you know how you can tell that young man that you're dating if he's going to treat you, how he's going to treat you in the long run? How does he treat his mom? Does he honor her? Does he talk down to her? Does he talk back to her? What does he say behind her back when she is not around? Why am I making this point? Because it's a great point to be made about honor. His mom is the woman that loved him first. His mom will outlive most likely all of the other relationships except one that he has with a woman, and how he treats her is a microcosm of how you're going to get treated. He's known her all of his life. He's known you for 2 minutes. And the same one that disparages her and talks down to her, you want to hook your wagon to that? I want to encourage you, look for a man that honors. Look for a man that honors God. Look for a man that honors the people around him. Let me talk to the young men. You know how you can tell that young lady you are dating is going to treat you in the long run? How does she treat her dad? How does she talk to him? How does she talk about him? And what does she say when he's not around? Listen, young men, you should have to feel big shoes when you marry a godly woman, but you have to understand, young man, that you are marrying somebody that needs to know how to honor God and honor the things of God. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments with a promise in Exodus chapter 20. The command is honor, which is respect and value your father and mother. This promise gives you long life on this earth. My prayer every day is, God, I want to live to be 100 years old. And so to be 100 years old, first thing I look is to honor my wife and honor my children. You say you honor your children. You honor, number one, I respect my children. But you know the greatest way I honor my children? By honoring and loving their mother. I don't talk down to my wife when it's just us two. I'm scared of her, y'all. But I definitely don't do it in front of my children. Why? Because I've got a great daughter-in-law who is as good as they come. And I don't want to ever hear Tyler talking down to her and then me get onto him. And just for my wife to say later, you know, he's only acting like he's seen you act. I honor my parents. I have great parents, 41 years of the greatest parents in the world. They'd have to be great to put up with me for 41 years. I have been their employee for most of those years. Now, they say that we are co-equals, but I will always bow to their position in this church and in my life. Why? Because they're my parents first, and I want to honor them, but I honor our bishop, and I honor our founding pastor, Becky, and what they've done for this church. I honor their vision. I honor their presence. I honor who they are and what they've done. I honor you. Some of you I've known for a long time. I honor Sister Gloria Nichols and Sister Tammy and Brother Kevin, Sister Reba. Brother Mike, I honor them as my elders, but now I'm at the age where some of you are younger than me. I still show you honor. Why? Because I'm looking for 100 years on this earth. I'm looking for a reason. I'm looking for a reason to honor and love those around me because of what it does in my life. We need to cultivate a culture of honor. So what does that mean? It means this. Dishonor affects your ability to lead. You say, well, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. Dishonor affects your ability to serve. Have you ever been to a restaurant where your wait staff had a bad attitude? And I'm like, hey, I just came in here. I'm ready to eat good. Don't take out your last bad tip on me. Don't make it 2 in a row. But when they serve you in such a way that you feel disrespected, doesn't matter how good the food is. Listen, you will make statements like, hey, how was that restaurant? Oh, it was really good, but the service was terrible. Now people will make a decision not based on what they serve and how good it was. They're now basing their decision on how they were treated. Dishonor affects your ability to lead. Dishonor affects your ability to serve. Finally, dishonor affects your ability to minister. Check this out. If I dishonor you, how am I going to lead you to him? If I dishonor people that God has called me to bring into the kingdom of God, I might have severed their only opportunity to come to Jesus because I am treating them badly because of something that I'm carrying or something that I'm dealing with at home. So God leads you into their presence, and you're supposed to encourage them. You're supposed to give them an invite to church. You're supposed to give them your testimony. You're supposed to ask them if they know Jesus. But because you dishonor them, now we are robbed of their opportunity. And I believe that God is so gracious that he will send them Sister Chris the next day, and she'll testify, and she'll preach, and she'll love on them. But how many times have I dishonored someone out of the kingdom because I was having a bad moment? You never go wrong honoring someone. You never go wrong offering someone respect. You are building a culture for them to come to Jesus. You are building a culture for them. There's so many times I'm on TikTok, y'all. It's the Wild West. I love TikTok. But when I get on there, I do lives every week, and there's hundreds of people that jump in these lives, and about half of them love you and half of them hate you. And when the trolls come out, they start attacking your appearance. They start attacking Jesus. They start attacking church. But not one time in that live, because I've got all these eyes on me, do I attack them back. I just say things like, hey, man, I love you and I'm praying for you. I know you don't believe like me, but hey, I love you and I'm praying for you. Which they reply, don't pray for me. The God you're praying to doesn't exist. That doesn't hurt my feelings. I'm 41 years old. What somebody says on the other side of their phone is never going to affect me. But I use that as practice. Why? Because I do look into the eyes of the wait staff at Olive Garden. I do look into the eyes of the cashier at Valero. I do look into the eyes of men and women that I'm doing business with. I do look in the eyes of people that I'm passing in these aisles, and I never want to sow dishonor when my job is to bring people to Jesus. And by dishonoring them, remember, bad service doesn't mean the food was bad, but it affects people from going to that place. I never want people to say, the food at Living Way was good. I just didn't like the wait staff. I just didn't like that usher. I just didn't like the way the greeter greeted me or did not greet me. You've got to understand that culture always is dragging people back, and everybody that comes to you and meets you is already looking for a reason not to like you. Who did you vote for? What's the color of your skin? What's your sexual orientation? Come on now. Are you a believer or unbeliever? Where do you go to church? Why do you go to church like that? Is it a denominational church? Do they speak in tongues at that church? How's the worship there? Everything. They're asking these questions not so that they can join you. Most of them are asking questions so that they can find a reason to disagree with you and to have a conversation that is not going to create a culture of honor. And if there is no honor, that's why I refuse to go down that rabbit hole with anybody. Why? Because that's the battlefield. And I'm not going to lose the war having conversations that are meaningless. I'm going to keep on being what God has called me to be. I'm going to keep saying what God has called me to say. I'm going to keep myself covered so that the enemy's tactics don't work, but I will always create a culture of honor. Somebody say honor. Somebody say obedience. Somebody say, that's me. If you don't honor, they won't hear. You don't honor, they won't hear. Verse 4, fathers, after we've talked about obedience, after we've talked about honor, I'm out of time, but this is what it says, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. It's funny how we forget that scripture. We love to quote those first ones. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. This is how God said this to me. He said, the covering's job is not to irritate, but to influence. Not to irritate, to influence and instruct. My job is not to press my children's buttons and then rebuke them when they act out because of the buttons I pressed. Here's the good thing about God. God will never irritate you. God will never act exasperated with you. Listen, I've homeschooled and taught my kids now for years. They've had and heard a lot of this. And I've worked here all day long. I get home to watch the Cowboys lose another game. And they come into my office. I mean, just as I get that hot burger and those hot fries and a nice sweet tea or Dr. Pepper, and I'm ready to dig in, and I hear my door, my office open, and I look up, and I'm already thinking, oh, Dad, can you help me with this algebra? I'm already knowing. I know math. That's like one of my specialties. And the reason they're asking is they don't know math. And Cowboys game and burger time is not the time for me to teach you algebra. So I get exasperated. Listen to this, church. And my teaching of them frustrates me and them. That's not a conducive environment for them to receive instruction. I say that to point out my faults, but to accentuate the goodness of God. I have come to God with my problems. He's got a war in Syria. He's got homeless and hungry people around the world. And here I come to God saying, God, I've got this problem. Not one time in 41 years have I ever heard God go, God has never been exasperated. You know what God does? He's a good father. He's a good, good father. He says, come on, son, I'm so glad you came to me, because you could have turned to the bottle, but you came to me. You could have went and lit it up, but you came to me. You could have went this direction, but you came to me. You could have laid out of church, but you went ahead and came on a Wednesday night. Come on, I'm going to teach you. I'm not mad at you. I'm glad that you showed up so I can teach you what to do, show you where to go. Show you how to be. Standing on our feet this evening in the house tonight. God is not exasperated with you. God is not murmuring under his breath. I think of how many times, church, I've stood before God saying, God, I need help. And it's something that God has helped me with 10 or 12 times. He's never been exasperated. Why? Because a father is not there to exasperate, be exasperated at their children. The father's there to instruct and influence. This is how you do it. So, Pastor Brandon, I'm going to be honest. These first 2 weeks, we're not talking about the battlefield. We are. Because you've got to prepare yourself before you ever get to the battle. That's why most people lose. You start praying after you get cancer. You start praying after she serves you with divorce papers. You start praying after you run out of money. Now you prepare for the battle of life before you ever step foot out of your door. Before you ever get married, you're preparing to be the greatest spouse, the most anointed and covered. Before you ever have children, I'm going to prepare myself to be the greatest father, to be the greatest mother that they have ever had. I'm encouraging someone in the room today and someone that is watching online tonight. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this. If you get covered by God, if you'll come up here and say, God, I've done it my own way and it hasn't worked. I need you. He's not exasperated. God is not mad. God does not have a furrowed brow. He is saying, come on, come on, come on. Why? He's a good father. Come on into my presence. Come on, let's make things right. Come on into my presence. Let's get things right. Come on into my presence. I'm going to show you some things that are going to help you. If you're in this altar today, I want you to lift both hands. I'm going to be honest with you, church. There needs to be a few more people from their seats in this altar. There's going to be a few more that what I've heard, what you've heard tonight, it might have pricked your heart and hurt a little, but it's what you needed to hear tonight. It's what you needed to hear tonight. There's somebody in here that you've been dishonoring. And check this out. The person you're talking about doesn't have to hear it for it to be dishonor. That one's tough. The person you're talking about doesn't have to hear it for it to be dishonor. Miriam, Moses' sister, ran her mouth about Moses. He didn't hear it. Guess who heard it? God. Guess what God did? Hey, Miriam, here's leprosy for your troubles. You say, that's not the God that I know. Yeah, you know the God through the prism of Jesus Christ. That God still exists, but it's grace now. But I'm here to tell you, don't dishonor. Honor. Honor. I'm going to go there. Quit talking bad about your president and pray for him. Not my president. Oh, yeah, he is. He's all our presidents. You saying he's not does not take his authority away. He's still the president. The last one was the president. This one's the president. The next one will be the president. You say, well, he's doing a bad job. That's your opinion that he's doing a bad job. Maybe the last one did a bad, I don't know. That's not, but instead of complaining about him and dishonoring, I'm not going to cut off my life. I'm going to honor him. You say, how you going to honor him? Pray for him. God, anoint that man. Anoint that woman. Anoint that leadership. God, they are the captain of the vessel I'm riding called America. I want them to do good. So instead of running my mouth about them and dishonoring them and bringing them down and cutting off years of my life, I'm going to sow honor. It's tough to do, church, but let's do it. If you're in your seat today and you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. This is your moment. Honor. I knew I wouldn't get much past honor today because it's so lost in our society. But if you're in this house today, let's not even talk about the honoring and covering of God. Let's talk about your relationship with God through Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, it's the most dishonoring thing you can do is never say yes to the cross. Never say yes to his blood. If that's you, this altar is open and ready for you. If you've maybe said yes to Jesus, but you have not walked it out, this honor's for you. This altar's for you. The honor that you show God in salvation, receiving him as King and Lord of your life, it's the greatest statement of honor, saying, God, I give you full control. That's you. This is your moment. If you're watching online, pray that prayer. Accept Christ. If you're in this place and you've never been baptized in water, this is your moment. We've been baptized. Sunday, we baptized people for 20 minutes after service. It was great. I'd do it again. We'll baptize until 11 o'clock tonight. If you want to be baptized in water, let's go. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, let's go. I hear people laugh and say, we stay here till 11 o'clock. I will. I don't have anything to do till Sunday morning or Friday night. If that's you, come to the altar. But I'm going to step down. I'm going to pray for these in this altar. I want our pastoral team to begin to pray. I want our altar workers and altar team and prayer partners to stand with them, beside them, behind them. Step around in front of them if you need to. But I believe that as we pray, they're getting some anointing oil. I love that. We usually just save that for when we were praying for healing, but we use that oil every service now. And as we anoint you, I just want you to remember that's not us. That's the covering.